Parents Night In is back on YouTube. Come on and get your fix. Kelly and Justin welcome you to episode 36.
Our show is called Parents Night In. People call our show Parents Night In. Good evening. I'm Justin.
Oh, I'm Kelly.
Welcome to Parents Night In here at Enoffa.com. Tonight we're watching a movie that we bonded over very early in knowing each other.
Yeah.
This movie was responsible for our first, like, funny exchange together.
Via emails. Can I say it?
Go ahead.
Forrest Gump.
Okay, so I'm going to tell the story then. Quick story, very quick. When we worked together, Kelly was the receptionist, and she sent out an email to the entire company saying, this Thursday there's going to be an ice cream social. And you had worked there for a few months by this point. And I already had a huge crush on you, and, you know, I just threw this out there, hoping that you would get it. I just responded with, Lieutenant Dan, ice cream. And you said, oh my God, I love that movie. It's so funny that I love that line, blah, blah, blah. And we went back and forth about that. And I was like, yes.
So
the door is open.
That's actually is an interesting risk. Because if it's someone who doesn't watch movies and doesn't get the reference, they're like,
what?
My name's not Dan. I am not a lieutenant. Yes, there's ice cream. You have problems.
Well, if you responded like that, then I would know that it was not meant to be with you.
True. No, Lieutenant Dan ice cream has been a refrain in my life for many, many years, long before you brought it up. So that was why it was such like, oh my God, that's my favorite line too.
Yeah. Anyway, we're watching Forrest Gump. Did you see this in the theater?
Yes, I did.
So did I.
And I left the theater. I was like 15. I left the theater and yeah. I was like, that was the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, I loved it. So I saw it with my girlfriend the first time.
Ew.
And we both loved it. And then I saw it with my parents. But I got like a really bad stomach virus or something. Yeah. Halfway through the movie, I started feeling really nauseous and I had to get up multiple times to go to the bathroom because I thought I was going to throw up.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
I spent the last half hour on a movie theater bathroom floor trying not to vomit.
Aww.
It sucked.
The next time you saw it, were you like, oh God, I'm a little nauseous now. Like, did your body have that nausea memory?
No, I didn't have like a Pavlovian response to it.
Can I tell you something?
What?
This feather is terrible CG.
It's, yeah.
And I did not notice it.
It's actually a real feather, but they just like captured it and then had it float all over the place using a computer.
Right.
The CG in this movie is pretty bad. The newsreel clips when he's inserted into historical footage, it's like, that doesn't look real at all.
Yeah.
He's fine, but like when they make their mouths move, it looks absurd.
Yeah. Yeah, they clearly took, like, existing footage and then changed the mouth.
Right. And even at the time, it didn't look very good. Mm. This is one of those movies that I like probably more than I should.
Explain.
It's obviously very well made and very well acted, but it's also very kind of manipulative.
Yes.
In that cheap Hollywood way that, like, this should not have won Best Picture. It was up against Pulp Fiction and Shawshank Redemption, and it's like, this movie's clearly not on the same level as those. And I feel like this one ends up being a bit like Titanic in that way, where it's like, it's a great crowd-pleasing Hollywood movie, but it's not like a great film.
It's not the kind of movie that I watch to pick apart. I'm not like, oh, look how lame this is. We'll probably do a little bit of that tonight just because we're going to watch it with a more critical eye than normal. But I just, it's such a feel-good movie. It is well acted.
Yeah, I had no problem with him winning Best Actor for it. Like, he was great in it.
When I saw it as a 15-year-old who was, you know, really into U.S. history at the time in high school, and I was, like, just starting to learn about a lot of these events and stuff, or, you know, learning about them and talking about them again, I was like, oh, I know what that is. Oh, that's so funny. Like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if that is how this happened? Like, I just thought it was kind of fun to see a movie character influence all these possible points in history.
Yeah. What's fun about this movie is just going through all the periods in U.S. history in the second half of the 20th century.
You know, there's a simplistic message of, like, similar to the It's a Wonderful Life thing, like, one little life can touch so many, and one little life can impact things you wouldn't expect.
Right. So this is based on a book, and the guy who wrote the book did not envision anyone close to Tom Hanks as Forrest Gump. You know who he had in mind?
No.
John Goodman.
That's interesting.
That would have been a very different movie.
Yeah, he's a really good actor.
I love John Goodman, and he could totally have done it.
Yeah.
But Tom Hanks delivered such an amazing performance that he's now forever tied to Forrest Gump. And like, I've never read the book. I'm assuming if I read the book, I would not be able to not picture Tom Hanks.
Right.
I guess he's less sort of virtuous in the book. He's more...
He's not perfect?
No, he's a bit more flawed in the book. And he's also like a savant. Like, he's amazing at math. Mm. So he ends up being an astronaut for a while.
Jeez.
And a pro wrestler.
Really?
Yeah, because he's like big. The teacher was banging his mom because the teacher wanted to kick him out of school. And she was like, he ain't going to a special school. There must be something can be done.
And then they had some hey time.
Yeah, they did. That's my favorite time.
What's vacation mean?
What am I drinking, Kelly? Give up? I'm drinking Citizen Cider, the Lake Hopper.
It looks like Sprite from here.
Yeah, it looks like nothing. What are you drinking?
I am drinking Vitamin C, C4. Vitamin C, C4. Right?
Howard goes to Hartford and gets a job at WCCC.
Bauer goes to Bartford. What else have we seen her in?
She's been in a lot of stuff. She was on SNL briefly. I forget her name. She was in Men in Black. She was Vincent D'Onofrio's wife.
Oh, yeah. Sugar water.
And it was like he put on an Edgar suit. Sleet's tight. Wow, you snobby bitch.
Jeez.
What?
It was okay when the guys did it?
No, it wasn't okay when the guys did it, but you expect it from guys because guys are dicks.
True.
Guys are dicks. Let me take that again. Guys are dicks.
I think you got it right the first two times. You didn't really need to say it again.
You can sit here if you want.
She was such a cute little girl.
She was. That's what happened the first time I looked at you. I went,
oh.
I was looking a little bit lower.
Oh, gross.
I'm sorry. People wouldn't let me sit wherever I wanted to at BT either. They said, can't sit here.
That's because your name was on your own desk.
That's right. It was my boss telling me I couldn't sit in his office.
Or on his lap. It's very inappropriate.
Whoa.
It's very inappropriate, Justin.
Whoa.
Probably shouldn't sit on your boss's lap.
And my girlfriend wouldn't let me sit on her lap at the time either because she worked in HR.
Yeah, let's not.
What?
We're not going to go there. Someday when we do the biopic of our lives, you can do that.
The biopic of our lives. Is someone going to do a biopic about Parents Night In?
Yes, who's going to be you?
I haven't decided yet. Who's going to be you?
I don't know.
Jessica Chastain?
Yeah, maybe. That would work.
I like that casting.
That'd be all right.
Who would be me? Who's like me but better looking? I mean, there's a lot of guys who are better looking than me, but that's a question I've always had a hard time answering. I think there was a Facebook post a long time ago that was like, who would you cast as like yourself and the people in your life if you were to make a biopic about yourself?
And you found like everybody but yourself?
I found everybody but me.
Yeah.
I mean, Christian Bale could pull it off.
He can do anything.
He can do anything.
He could play me. That's how good he is.
It's fucking A right. I'd want someone a little younger than me, though, I think.
Mm.
He's older.
By how much?
Close to 2 years.
It depends on what part of your life he's playing.
I know, but...
Could he play you as a child? Probably. He's Christian Bale. But that's not the point.
Could he play you in your 20s? Absolutely. He's Christian Bale.
Could he play you if you were like 700 pounds overweight?
Obviously.
And you had to be lifted from a crane to get out of your house?
He would gain all that weight.
Yeah, he would.
That guy's dedicated.
He's so wonderful.
You know
such
else?
A great moment when he kicks the braces off and he's all like triumphant and happy that he can run.
You know what they should have done though? They should have attached him to a fucking crane so he could have outrun a train.
Yeah, I think that would have been helpful.
And then Lois could have seen him and said, oh, look at that boy, he's running really fast. I was running. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
You
know what I think is a real jerk move?
What?
When his foot gets stuck in the grate at the beginning of the movie and those three men just watch her struggle to get it out.
Well.
Whatever happened to Southern hospitality?
And chivalry.
Yeah. This is the 60s, man.
No, it's before the 60s.
This is the 1922s, man.
No, I think 50s. I would say 50s.
This is the 1949 to 1958-ish era, man.
Jenny's dad is a fucking douchebag diddler douche. Douchebag diddly diddly douchies.
That was strong language.
Buenas ding-dong-diddly-deus. I think this might have been the next thing I saw her in after The Princess Bride.
She was obviously in things in between, right?
Yeah, but I didn't see any of it.
After this movie came out.
Her face is funny in that show. Yeah. Room!
Well, she's trying to do the accent. It's really hard for a British woman to do that southern thing.
She's not British!
That was a joke, I knew that,
yeah, I know.
By the way.
Which, again, fans. I was shocked about... when I learned that, because her accent in The Princess Bride was so convincing.
Yeah. So after this movie came out, I got the double CD soundtrack. It was
a fantastic soundtrack. There's so many great songs.
Oh, I loved listening to that soundtrack.
I mean, it's hard to go wrong when you have a movie that takes place in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
So much good music. Who in the hell is that? We need him for a football team. Football. That's how they say football in the South. Football.
Football. I don't like it that they call him stupid.
I mean, he's stupid.
It's not nice.
Kelly.
I guess we've discussed this already.
Stupid is as stupid is.
Yikes.
What? He's like Big Dumb Flash.
Big Dumb Flash.
Like, the compositing is really good.
The compositing is very good.
He looks like he's there.
Yeah. They got the lighting done well.
Yeah, like, that's really impressive. But when they have JFK try to say something that he's not really saying...
It looks like Garth singing terrible. Bohemian Rhapsody.
It does, and the voices don't match up at all.
Mm.
Here it is. Ma'am, you dropped your book. Ma'am, you dropped your poop.
Poor Jenny. Her date got ruined.
Well, her date was a scumbag.
Totally true.
Jenny is one of those women who's attracted to douches.
She likes the bad boys.
Well, her dad was a bad boy and an abusive asshole, so...
Well, she's been through a lot already.
They always say that women date their dads.
Here it is.
John F. Kennedy's clip.
I want to go to the White House and have a lot of Dr. Peppers.
Not right now, you don't.
Oh, God, no.
You'd have a lot of McDonald's.
Yeah.
Like, did they take footage of him actually speaking to make his mouth move like that?
I think they did, but they didn't have the exact lines. Like, use the lines.
Right. They probably should have just taken someone else's mouth that sort of looked like him and recorded them saying the line and just superimposed it into his face. You know what I mean?
It would have looked like Midget Apple.
It would have, but that would have looked better than what they did. I wonder how a movie like this would do nowadays in the age of franchises and action and... comic books.
I mean, I feel like it has a gimmick that I feel like it could work, but I feel like they would market it in a very different way. It'd be like, meet the man who changed the course of history.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, it would be almost like this was his superpower. Being dumb and in the right place at the right time changed the history of the world.
Here's the joke that Kelly didn't get until about 4 years ago. You ever been on a real shrimp boat? No, but I've been on a real big boat.
Yeah, I didn't know
that
was a study in opposites.
Lobbed softball ever. And she was like, huh, he said shrimp boat. And he said big boat. Wonder what that means. Forrest Gump is tailor-made for the military.
Yeah, because he's really good at doing exactly what he's told to do, exactly the way he's told to do it.
Yeah.
I could use one of those around the house every once in a while, because our child is not that.
I thought that was going to be a knock at me.
No. It'd be nice to be like, hey, can you put your shoes in the cubby and have him go and pick up the shoes and put them in the cubby?
Instead of
not tell me 7 stories on the way there and then forget what I asked him to do.
Or saying, why? What's OCS?
Would you like me to look it up on Google?
Kelly looked stuff up on the Google. Looking up stuff online.
It's Officer Candidate School.
I have a feeling Gump wouldn't have made much of an officer. Because as an officer, you have to actually make decisions for yourself. Instead of being told what to do. Jenny was in Playboy.
The luscious Bobby Dylan.
And then she was going to be a singer like Joan Baez. She was actually naked for this scene, apparently. And it was apparently very cold in that room. I'm just saying, they had to do a lot of takes. And
she was like, can I please put on some clothing?
And Robert Zemeckis was like...
Jesus.
Kind of a weird act to put on. You'd think a strip club owner would be like, yeah, no, we don't want you to sing or hold the guitar. We just want you to be up there with no clothes on.
Maybe it was a condition of her working there.
I know, but he probably would have been like, yeah, no.
I don't know, Justin. She's the luscious Bobby Dylan, and she was in Playboy.
What are you doing here? Clothes! I need clothes in here! Wow, ixnay on the condescension A there, Jenny.
Condescension A?
It's from Wayne's World.
Oh.
I love
Jenny's
you.
Jenny's having a little bit of a rough patch.
She's having a...
And as we learn, most of Jenny's life is a rough patch.
Yeah.
I think Jenny has maybe one or two smooth patches. Don't try to be brave. Just run.
Well,
she, you know what she just did?
Killed.
You know what she just did?
What?
Forrest, don't be a hero. Don't be a fool with your life. Do, 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 do. Forrest, don't be a hero. Come back and don't make me your wife. Because I'm still going through a rough patch. And I'm not going to be ready to be your wife until like the 80s when I have AIDS.
Wow.
And as he started to go.
You've given up the entire movie.
I was reading something recently where people were going back and forth on a movie page comment section about whether she in fact had AIDS or whether it was Hep C.
Yeah, I was reading about that. The assumption is that she has AIDS, but I don't know if the filmmakers ever said anything about what she was supposed to have, but I think Hep C was probably the intent.
I always assumed that came out around the intent.
Hep C came out around the same time.
I didn't know Hep C was new. I thought Hep C was always there.
No, it was new.
Because AIDS was new around that time, too. And it was. She shared a lot of needles and she did all that.
Yeah, but I think it definitely comes across like AIDS, like, in retrospect.
There's a new virus. They don't know how to fix
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
And part of the discussion was, if she indeed had AIDS, wouldn't Little Forrest have AIDS? Couldn't she have passed it to Big Forrest? But it depends on when she got it, too.
Depends on when she got it, yeah.
She could have easily gotten that after Little Forrest came around.
True. The Vietnam section of this movie is one of my favorite parts of the movie. I'm fascinated with just Vietnam movies in general.
This is the only movie about Vietnam War that I like. Because what? It's not gritty. No, I know. I like it. I just mean that, like, I generally and famously do not like war movies. I find them very difficult to watch.
Well,
I get emotionally messed up by them.
That's the point.
This one doesn't mess with me the same way.
But
because it's a frosting version.
Yeah.
It's light and fluffy.
I just find Vietnam movies fascinating. They're very immersive.
This was my first...
Such a bizarre thing. Why were we there? It makes no sense.
I don't know. This was my first introduction to Gary Sinise.
Mine too.
Was this his, like, big break?
It was his breakout, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
He's so good in this movie.
He's awesome in this movie.
And I love him very much because he also, since this movie, has been extremely dedicated to helping veterans.
Yes, he has.
And so he does a lot of charity work and a lot of wonderful events to support people who've served and their families who've lost family members and all kinds of stuff. He seems like a genuinely good man.
He's a good guy, that Gary Sinise.
Yeah. He seems approachable, like you could have a beer with him.
And then you could say, "You ain't got no beers, Lieutenant Dan." "Yes, I know that. Go get me one."
I was also going to say something else about war movies. So we watched, what's the movie that we watched recently that made me very mad?
Paths of Glory.
Yes, Paths of Glory. And I had a lot of deja vu moments with 1917, which we had also watched somewhat recently.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a lot of time in the bunkers.
Yes. Same war.
Yeah. But watching Paths of Glory, right? I have no idea how accurate that is based on, the reality of how people think about war, right? Like, I struggle with it, right? But, you know, that stupid asshole in Paths of Glory is, like, walking through the thing and punching people in the face if they're not, like, strong enough for him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just a dick and, like, sort of treats the whole thing like a game and, like, all the men...
They're expendable.
Yeah, and that makes me so sad. I don't like to
believe... All he cares about is his promotion.
Right.
That's the only reason he's doing any of it.
And I don't like to believe that there are people in the world like that, and I don't like it when movies point it out. I like to believe that everyone's awesome and nice and, like, wicked cool and, like, super helpful and, like, really nice.
No, most people in power are shit.
I don't need the movies to remind me of that, Justin.
Society does.
I think I'm just going to watch Disney movies from now on. There's always really good morals and lessons there.
There's plenty of people in power in Disney movies that are shit.
Mm,
Kelly?
I don't think that's true.
The Queen in Snow White is shit.
She's nice.
She's nice.
She just really likes the way she looks in the mirror, and that's all.
Uh-huh. Hey, Wicked Queen, if you marry a third husband, which you should not because you are shit.
I think that's just one example, and I've already,
you've already debunked it.
So you should probably give me another example because I'm pretty sure that you're wrong.
Am I wrong? How about Jafar? He's in power.
Yeah, you know, I think he's just misunderstood.
Is he?
He deeply cares about
Agrabah. How about Gaston?
Well, yeah. But, you know, like, he's just so handsome. He can't help it. Here's the moment where he shrimp-posal.
His shrimp-posal?
Yeah, it's like a prom-posal or a proposal.
A prom-shrimple?
It's a prom-shrimple. He shrimp-posed to Forrest. He said, you can come work on my shrimp boat. We can live there.
Like, he goes, that's a fine idea. Bubba did have a fine idea.
Yeah.
There were Vietnam War vets that were saying this scene was extremely realistic because you never see the enemy ever.
Yeah.
And that's how it was. It was just like they came out of nowhere and just hit everything.
Yeah. I feel like in lots of Vietnam movies, you don't see the enemy.
Well, there's a lot of that, yeah.
Which is very different from Paths of Glory and 1917.
Well, where it was just stalemate all the time.
You literally, like, run at each other.
Right. And then right here is where they used some blue screen or green screen. Where they're napalming the woods. Lieutenant Dan, green screen!
Doesn't even look that bad. Like, even when you point it out, I have to really stare at it to notice.
Bubba said something I won't ever forget. Like, it was going to be something really poignant.
Mm-hmm.
Really lofty.
Yeah.
I want to go home. He was a bullet. Jumped up and bit you. Hey, Kelly.
Yeah.
That bullet. You mean it bit you? No.
No, my butt.
Oh, it bit your butt, eh? No. Lieutenant Dan, ice cream. Puts it in the bedpan, because that's ultimately where it's going anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Cut out the middleman.
Yeah, he doesn't he doesn't need the calories.
Oh. So this right here, at the time, I was like, that...
It's amazing.
Is Gary Sinise actually, like, a cripple?
Did
like,
they cut his legs off?
Because I had never seen Gary Sinise in anything. I was like, is he actually missing the bottom half of his legs?
Yeah.
It was like...
Pretty awesome.
It was unfathomable to me that that was an effect.
Yep. There's every once in a while when I watch this, I look really closely and I'm like, okay, I can kind of see him trying to use
his legs
there.
There's a couple shots where you can see it, but...
But he does a really good job.
For the most part, it was pretty amazing. They wrapped his legs in, like, blue bandages so that they could just blue screen the bottom half out.
All his letters from Jenny got returned.
That bitch.
Well, I mean, she's not there.
Fucking bitch.
But like grandma couldn't hold on to it. Maybe grandma died.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
I think it was her grandma's dog. He was a mean dog. He killed her. Door song number 2. Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name?
Hello, ping pong. I love you, ping pong. Won't you tell me your name? It's ping pong.
Wow. Hello, ping pong. I love you, ping pong. Won't you tell me your name? Ping pong. Hello, ping.
Why'd you have to take my joke and just make the same thing?
Yeah, I just did the same thing, didn't I?
You didn't do anything different. You added nothing.
Hello, ping pong. I love you, ping pong. Won't you tell me your name? Fuck you! Was that different?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Hello, ping pong. I love you, ping pong. Won't you tell me your name? It's Steve!
That was all right.
Is that better?
Yeah. That was horrifying.
Hellfire. Aren't you glad you married me?
Yeah.
And not someone else?
Okay, moving on to beer number dose. Everybody listening at home. And this is a Burke's Ale Works, not brown ale. Burke's Ale Works is a brewery that is based in Hanover. And this is our first time trying their beer. So we ordered an IPA and this nut brown ale.
Supporting local business.
Yeah, supporting all our local brewers.
I am also drinking a local brewery. Widowmaker Blue Comet.
We had a Blue Comet? You didn't tell me?
It was an IPA. You said you didn't want one. Blue Comet was my IPA gateway.
Oh.
My gateway IPA. My IP gateway.
Your gate PA?
My gate PA.
Did Gamora have anything to do with it? What's it?
What?
Nothing.
Gamora says it's a gum IPA.
It's definitely nutty.
It's nutty.
It's got a really...
Bit of caramel.
Yeah, it's got a bit of caramel. It's like a nice, rich flavor.
Yeah, it's like a coffee stout, except not heavy.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I don't drink a lot of Guinness, but would you say it's kind of Guinness-y?
It's kind of light like a Guinness.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's rich without being heavy.
Yeah.
Nice job, Burke's Ale Works. By the way, Works is spelled W-O-R-K-S, not W-E-R-K-S, like you have it on the sign. But I'll let it slide this time.
Oh, someone did not spell check. I'm concerned that they've hired a low-rate graphics person.
Hey, Burke's Ale Works, you have a typo on your sign.
We're kidding. We jest. Honestly, it's good beer.
It is good beer.
I'm excited when the quarantine is lifted. I'm excited to go and actually visit our local breweries and like sit and have a drink or two.
To be able to do that again. They would be in two other movies together.
Which ones, Justin?
Apollo 13.
And Apollo 14?
No.
Why? What happened to the other actors from the other 12 Apollo movies? Do they change actors every movie?
It's not a sequel.
It's a prequel. Okay, so what about like Apollo like 17?
Kelly?
What?
It's not a prequel either.
Oh.
He was in Apollo 13 and The Green Mile with Tom Hanks.
Oh, it's that one where they rob spaceships. So like there were 13 guys.
Sweet Jesus, yes. It's Ocean's Apollo 13.
What was the third one they were in together? Sorry.
Green Mile.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That's a movie that makes me want to cry all the way through.
Oh, it's such a good movie.
We should record that and just be like,
see where I cry because this happens.
Mr. Jangles.
Oh, God, Mr. Jangles. I'm sad that he didn't put on a dress and sing, Mr. Jangles.
The last mile is green. Now.
If you haven't seen The Fisher King, that's what we're referencing there.
Michael Jeter.
Yeah, Michael Jeter. And he plays this hilarious, like, sort of drag queen crazy person.
He's like a homeless guy, except he also loves doing show tunes.
Yeah, he's a homeless guy who loves doing show tunes. And so then he shows up at this woman's work, dressed as a woman, but with a full-on, really thick 80s mustache, and sings like Ethel Merman.
Everything's coming up video!
Lydia!
I had a dream!
We sing like that a lot in our house.
We do. We love Ethel Merman's comedic stylings. Her comedic stylings. Because that's really what they are, is comedy.
Yeah, but it wasn't intended that way.
I know it wasn't, but it's fucking funny. So it bugged me that this movie kind of made the anti-war protesters look like antagonists.
Yeah.
Like, they were right.
They were right. But they kind of
they kind of make them look like dicks.
And clowns.
Yeah.
They're, like, if it wasn't a jerk, it was a clown. Like, yeah. There was no in between.
Right. And that bothered
me. That's very not true.
Right.
Like, they're either hippies who are there to get high, or people who just are trying to put on a show.
And, like, bullies and shit. Like, that's... Stop it.
Not only that, then veterans were coming home and getting shit on.
They were getting shit on, and partly by the anti-war protesters, which...
It's not their fault, all of them. Some of them got drafted, and not everybody can dodge the draft.
I totally agree with that. And protesters were wrong to shit on soldiers.
Yeah.
But...
That part always makes me mad when I've... Like, whenever I've learned about this in history, I'm like, how did that happen?
Right.
To people who served the country. But like, will never understand.
They were
how
right to be protesting
that.
The war.
Yes, but it's not their fault. They didn't choose that.
I'm not saying it's their fault. I'm just saying, like, the way the anti-war protesters are portrayed in this movie bothered me.
Yes.
And they make the Black Panthers look like assholes.
Yeah,
too.
I didn't like what they did there either.
Yeah, that bothers me.
Well, it made it seem like she just, you know, joined the Black Panthers because she liked the abuse. And then she was with that boy because she liked the abuse.
Right.
Like, they were a little heavy-handed with her path a little bit in that way, I think.
Right.
But I agree. I don't agree with the light that they put the Black Panthers in.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the Black Panthers did not walk around screaming in everyone's face.
No, they didn't.
Like, during a speech? Maybe.
But, like, they were right to be pissed off.
Yeah.
And, like, this anti-war guy is beating the shit out of Jenny. Like,
yeah, he slaps Jenny, but when Forrest jumps in, he's the one that's, like, in trouble.
Right, yeah. It's an unnecessary part of the movie, like, to make this anti-war guy that Jenny's hooked up with also an abusive douchebag.
Yeah. Like, those protesters are doing their thing. They're just quiet. They got the candles.
Those,
like,
are more indicative of actual protesters.
Yeah. I want you to have this.
I got it. Just by doing what you told me to.
Jesus.
Also, Greenbow, Alabama. It's not a real place.
Oh, it's not?
Not real. But you know what is real? Biolabattery.
Yeah, Biolabattery.
Hold on. You know what is real? What? Israel. That's crazy that, like, pro ping pong players stand, like, 15 feet away from the table.
Yeah. It's basically like midget tennis.
Midget tennis?
But with giants.
Wow. This scene pisses me off.
Because he wrote the Imagine song?
He wrote the Imagine song, and the voice is totally wrong. The lip movement doesn't work at all. And they make it sound like John Lennon is a communist. And then Dick Cavett says, oh, hard to imagine.
It's easy if you try, Dick.
It's so bad.
Yeah, it's not great.
And, like, even the CG doesn't work in this scene either. Like, Forrest doesn't look like he's really there.
Mm.
It's the worst of the composite scenes.
I love this moment. That's Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan. by the way.
I love how he turns around and then looks more surprised when he sees him, even though he knew.
Gary Sinise looks like a total fucking badass with the long hair and the
beard. Yeah, he's cool.
When I saw this, I was like, yeah, he looks fucking awesome.
He looks like you in high school is what he looks
like. He
looks
like me in high school.
Maybe he needs to play you in your biopic.
He's too old now.
Yeah.
Okay, Bride of Frankenstein, Pepper and Salt Lady. Look at that tiny ass television. Man, we grew up in an era where a 12-inch TV was like, that's my entertainment center.
I got a 20-inch TV.
So did I.
When I was, I don't know, 23, and I was like,
so
yay!
Was I.
When, I can see things now.
When Bales and I moved in together, he bought a 27-inch TV, I bought a 20-inch TV, and I was like,
He bought a 27-inch TV?
Yeah.
Whoa, money
bags. And I was like, I can't afford that. I'm just going to get the 20-inch. That's fine. That's enough. And that was my TV for years.
Yeah.
And that was good enough. What the fuck?
Well, we didn't have better.
That's mental. If you're ever a Shrimpo captain, that's the day I'm an astronaut. Well, guess what, Gary Sinise? 1 year later, you're going to be an astronaut in Apollo 13.
That is pretty hilarious.
So, boomity boomity.
I have a feeling she might have been in Dirty Dancing.
The blonde?
The blonde.
Really?
I'm gonna check it out. I'm gonna look it up. I'm gonna find out from Google.
Oh. That was very Mona Lisa Ralphio.
It was. It was kind of Tom Haverford inspired, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Did I do it wrong?
What did you do?
Oh, man.
I'm whistling.
I feel very bad for Lieutenant Dan.
I love the line where he says, because he didn't have no legs, he spent most of his time exercising his arms. That's a compound joke.
Compound.
Right here, where he climbs into the wheelchair.
He definitely uses legs there.
Yeah.
Because you'd have to put the brakes on the wheelchair.
Right there. He defies
that.
Gravity in that shot. Oh, look at that. Forrest blows the whistle on Watergate. And thus dooms every scandal in the U.S. to be named something Gate.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Forrest.
That's always driven me nuts. Gate doesn't make any sense. It's not Gate because it's a scandal. It's Gate because Watergate was the name of the hotel.
You know what? The next time that one of the cats does a hairball on the floor, I'm going to call it Hairball Gate.
Tom Hanks is the most likable actor of our generation.
He's the best. America's sweetheart.
He's America's dad.
America's dad. Hanks. He signs all his tweets. H-A-N-X. Hanks.
He should sign them all T-H-A-N-X. Thanks.
T-Hanks.
God damn it.
It works on both levels, Justin. T-Hanks and thanks.
Yep. Come on, Tom.
So he's driving his boat one day, and he sees something off in the distance. What is it?
Oh my God,
it's Lieutenant Dan! Hey, Lieutenant Dan!
It was very loud.
It was very
loud. Hey, Lieutenant Dan!
I also love it because he jumps off the boat. The boat crashes into a dock.
Yeah.
Anytime Justin tells me anything that I already know, I grit my teeth and I say, yes, I know that.
That's maybe the best exchange in the whole movie.
Yep.
You ain't got no legs, Lieutenant Dan. Yes, I know that. Where are we going to find them?
He prayed and it didn't help. Oh, shit.
Lieutenant Dan's going to need to insult God.
Yep. Lieutenant Dan has to brave God and survive it.
That's right. And God says, you know what, Lieutenant Dan?
You're all right.
You're a tough son of a bitch.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Lieutenant, do you have to use so many cuss words?
But Forrest, right? Forrest is a good man. Yeah. He didn't deserve shrimp. You know what it is? God had to test them both.
God likes a challenge. Mm. Forrest is too easy.
I like it because I also think it's the moment where his life turns around, where he's like, okay, Forrest saved me. So he screwed me out of my death. And then God like chose not to take me. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to do something with this shit that I'm left with.
He gains a sense of self-worth.
Right. He's like, okay, clearly I'm meant to be here for some reason. I like how his solution for everything is just jump
in the river.
Swim. He ran from the airport, Justin.
That's a long
way. The airport.
Ways.
He ran from the airport when he could have taken a surfboard.
Surfboard.
Oh my God, it's his childhood doctor. Oh, callback. You know what bothers me about her bed? It looks like it's a cardboard box.
It does.
It looks so stiff. That poor woman probably died of bad bed.
That poor woman probably died of scoliosis. That's how I feel about money, too. I've never really had much money in my life, but when I actually have it, it's like, that's good. One less thing to worry about.
Yeah.
It's great.
Sing it.
That's one less thing to worry about. That's one less thing to worry about. I got money.
If you were a gazillionaire and you didn't need money, what would you do for free?
Make a movie.
No, for other people.
Make a movie.
No, okay.
What do you mean, for other people?
Well, I just meant like he cut the grass for those people because he liked to do it, and it was, he didn't need the money, so he did a job for free.
Yeah, I know.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
Uh-huh. Your answer's fine. It's fine. It does employ a lot of people.
Yeah, it does. I would make a movie and employ a lot of people, and I'd be like, I don't need a salary for this. What would you do?
I always liked this little suite.
What would you do?
I was listening to the music, dum-dum.
Answer the question you asked.
I'm trying to think. I would do something to help kids that were in need. Either educationally focused or...
Educationally?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Or like basic needs kind of stuff.
If I had the money to just like donate, I would donate to education.
Yeah.
Definitely. I would donate to that and like the MSPCA.
Mm.
Edumacation and animals. They have happened upon her old house.
Her old hizzy.
What a terrible hizzy that was.
Hizzy?
It was a terrible hizzy.
It's a hizzy.
No, hizzy.
Oh, no.
It's a terrible hizzy, and she's about to lose her shizzy.
Yeah.
Hey, Jenny.
She really needed to break a window. If she was Mary Hatch, she would have done it on the first throw.
She would have. Yeah, Mary Hatch was a hell of a thrower.
Yeah, well.
Hey, Jenny, did you want to buy that house? That seems like you could have aimed higher, both figuratively and literally.
I don't think she wants that house.
Because Mary Hatch threw a rock at the window when she wanted to buy the house.
Also, her feet are dirty.
Her feet are dirty because she took her sandals
and
off.
And her white skirt. Didn't anyone teach her not to sit in the mud with a white skirt on?
Kelly? She never met Bubba. Mm-hmm. Who would have told her not to sit with her skirt in the mud. This whole soundtrack is basically a classic hit station.
Yeah.
Why is 60s and 70s music so comforting?
I think because that's what our parents listened to as we were growing up, and so it reminds us of home.
I guess.
That's very much how it is for me.
Yeah.
My grandparents and my parents listened to that music, and so when I hear it, it just brings me back to my childhood when I felt warm and safe and happy all the time.
Yeah. Here she comes, Forrest. Here she comes. Here she comes, Horace, here she comes.
You're next.
Taking off her nightgown, there it goes. And just like that, Jenny was gone. She bangs him and then she leaves. It's just so mean.
Yeah, she's the worst.
She gives him the best night of his life and then just go, goodbye. That was very condescending of that cab driver. Where are you running off to? I'm going back to my apartment.
Like, leave me alone.
I banged some rich plantation owner, and now I'm done. This was based on some guy who actually did this. He, like, ran across the country.
It's ridiculous.
Like a crazy person. You just ran! Most of all, I thought about Jenny, the one woman who deflowered me.
Yikes.
And then left. If he was a YouTuber, he'd be a very famous YouTuber.
I'm sorry. If he was a YouTuber, he'd be a very famous YouTuber. Is that like a YouTuber who's hit a certain status?
Yep.
Is it a YouTuber who only works in October?
When you get 10 million views.
And you only work in October, you become a YouTuber.
A YouTuber.
Mm-hmm. What about a YouTovember?
What?
What's special about a YouTovember? Or a YouSember?
A YouTubuary.
It wasn't very good.
Anyway. Shut up! If he were a YouTuber, he'd be extremely famous.
Yeah, he would.
For just doing this stupid thing.
Yep. This is also ridiculous.
Mm.
Gives him a yellow t-shirt, Forrest wipes his face, and it becomes the yellow emoji.
It becomes the have a nice day sign. Him wiping his face on it wouldn't have that perfect cartoon face.
They should have at least made it look somewhat like, oh...
Like the bat signal in Batman Begins, where it's, like, messy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He found out he doesn't need to take a bus to go see Jenny. He's been sitting on that bench the whole time for no reason.
You know,
telling all these stories to people he doesn't even know for no reason. All he could have done was run down the block and see Jenny.
This is one of those situations where, like, if one thing had changed, there'd be no movie.
Yeah.
If the first person had said, oh, you can just walk there.
I don't know how to say this, but we banged that one time.
In about 10 seconds, someone's going to walk into this room who came from you.
We banged, and you gave me something, and that something has come through the door, and that's Robert Zemeckis' wife, and she's no longer alive, and that's really sad.
Oh, she's not.
Here, remember?
That's the lady.
From Die Hard.
Yes.
Yeah. And that kid sees dead people, and he was just with a dead person.
Oh, my.
That's weird. He got a dad named Forrest? Yes, Forrest, it's you.
I like his reaction here, though.
Try to work with me here.
He does such a wonderful job of portraying, like, I don't know what to do with what? This.
Yeah, he does.
But he's so sweet.
Yep.
Hello, Mr. Gump.
Hello, Mr. Gump.
That kid is so cute.
Not so much anymore.
You know what, Justin? They don't all grow up to be beauties. You included.
Hey!
What?
You fucking bitch.
I'm kidding. I love you.
You disgust me.
No, I don't. You know what line killed me the first time I saw this was when he said, is he smart?
Yes.
And I was like, boom!
Yep.
Because, you know, you don't think of him as being intelligent, but the fact that he knew enough to ask that question suggested that he had enough self-awareness to know.
Yeah, where he's like, is he smart? Was he? No, he's really smart.
And it's incredible.
Yeah, it's a great line.
It's such a good payoff.
Well, it's like that thing we were talking about earlier where it's like, I don't want him to have the worst of me.
Like, I know where my limitations are, and I hope I didn't pass them along to him.
Lieutenant Dan.
And he's walking.
When I first saw this, I was like, oh, he sold out. He cut his hair and beard. What the fuck?
Really?
Come on, Dan.
And I was like, yeah, he's back.
Screw you, Dan. Fucking square. Titanium alloy.
Just like on the space shuttle. The you and I will be in a year.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's going to be real fucking hard.
Guess what? I'm not going to get to go on that space shuttle because I have the measles.
There's the feather.
Oh,
oh my
gosh.
Out. It's like full circle.
It fell out.
Take your book, Forrest.
Forrest, you take my book.
It's Dorothy.
Wow, she really has not elevated her station in life.
You know what, Justin? She doesn't need to.
Over 20 years.
She's happy driving the bus.
I guess.
Matter of fact, I know people who drive buses and they
do you?
Really, yes.
You do?
I know two different people that drive buses.
Really?
And they really love it.
Really? How do you know them?
Different ways.
Different ways.
One is a former coworker and one is a former colleague, friend.
Okay. Do they all ride together on a CG feather?
No. This is not the magic school bus, Justin.
Get on the magic school bus. I'm gonna fly into the camera. Give me a second first.
Jeez. So, you know, when you watch that movie, it's easy to see how someone who's like a serious film buff would be like, no, it's crap. But it's just, it's fluffy.
It's fluff.
But it's good. No, it's good fluff.
It's very well done fluff.
It's like a good peanut butter and fluff sandwich once a year on the beach.
I don't like fluff. No, it's very well done for what it is. It's a good dramedy blockbuster.
I like it.
Why?
I like all of the acting. I think everyone does a good job.
Yes.
You know, it's got the cheese factor and it definitely does a couple of ham-fisted things. But overall, it's just a really fun movie. The music's great. The acting's great. The story's fun.
It's one of those movies that's like, from every filmmaking perspective, it's well done.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's a popcorn movie that somehow snuck past the Academy as like an Oscar movie.
You know why?
Why?
Because it was a popcorn movie with a side of nachos and an ice cream sundae.
Okay.
And those pretzel dippers that they allow you to
those pretzel
buy
dippers.
You dip them in the cheese sauce.
The
nachos have jalapenos on them.
What?
It's like buying a hot dog and getting the fries for free. It's like the prize inside the sugary cereal box. Dig and dig and dig, and it's a lot of hard work. It's kind of great. And then you're like, I could have bought a toy. Remember Wacky Wall Crawlers?
No.
You don't?
Yes.
You didn't have a lot of sugar. Wait, yes.
The things you threw against the wall that would like roll down the wall. Yes, I remember those.
They were so gross. So it's like when you go to a 5-star restaurant and you're like, what's for dessert? What's on the dessert menu tonight? And they're like, we have a special dessert menu.
Ice cream.
It is a piece of brioche bread that is spread with a nut butter. And then there is a fluffy marshmallow meringue on the top. And then we put more brioche bread on it and we give it to you on a plate. And you're like, that's a fluffer nutter. And they're like, no, 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 no. It is our brioche nut butter souffle.
Basically.
Yeah.
It's a popcorn movie disguised as Oscar bait. It's crowd-pleasing fluff that feels like it's meant for award season, except it's really not.
What else would you compare it to? What else falls into that category?
Movie-wise?
Yes.
I don't want to say Ghost.
Ghost was good.
But it was like Ghost was nominated for Best Picture.
It was also cheesy.
And it was like, really? This is a Best Picture nominee?
This is the best you could do, Hollywood?
Come on.
Come on, Hollywood. You're better than that.
You're better than that. I would say Titanic kind of falls into that same category. That's
what I was wondering.
It's a popcorn film disguised as Oscar bait.
And like Avatar kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely Avatar. Yeah, it's that thing where the Academy can't resist saying, everyone loves this movie. We got to nominate it for all kinds of stuff. And I enjoy it quite a bit. It should not have won Best Picture, but I enjoy
it. What would you have given it to? Pulp Fiction or Shawshank?
Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction was like such a defining film of the era that it was like, you should have given it to that. Like, you should have had the foresight to say, this movie's going to be a huge deal throughout this decade.
Yeah.
And Shawshank was just an incredible film.
It was so well done.
Yeah.
Based on an incredible book that I've never read.
It's a great book. Shut up!
She just glared at you, man.
Yeah, I'm glaring right back at
if
her because she's a
If cat looks
douche.
Could kill, you'd be dead.
Yeah, well, they can't, and I'm not.
Point taken. Touché, my friend. Touché.
Anyway.
Having watched this again for the first time in quite a while, I think the Black Panther thing was the thing that annoyed me the most.
Yes, I agree.
And just the general goofiness of the protesters. Like, that whole thing was like, I'm not sure what the point of that was. Basically, just to make it look like because Forrest went to war and was a hero, like the rest of these people are clowns?
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
But I believe that both sides, like this is one of those many situations in the world where both sides are right. The people that are protesting the war have a right to protest the war, but the people that went to the war have a right to be respected.
Yeah, I agree. Because a lot of them didn't go of their own volition. But...
And they certainly didn't have fun while they were there.
Making fun of the anti-war movement felt very disingenuous.
It did, yeah. Hey, Zemeckis, the hell?
Hey, Zemeckis, what the hell?
Audrey!
Do you hear me? Zemeckis! I'm sorry. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Captain Underpants.
I miss you, Jenny.
What?
Who's Jenny?
Who's Jenny?
Jenny!
Thanks for watching, everybody. Don't forget to click that subscribe button and follow us on Twitter, MeWe, and Facebook.